Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Adam Schefter, as long as the Patriots have Drake May, they can make a real playoff run.
How about that?
I mean, that to me, if he really means what he's saying, that to me means you don't need Christian Gonzalez to go on a run. That to me means Drake May is good enough to carry this team to the postseason without Christian Gonzalez. That's what Schefter said.
Yeah.
And again, if he really means it, I'm curious how Patriots fans feel about that. Is Drake May good enough to carry this team without a player like Christian Gonzalez on defense? They were 1-2 and lost to the worst team in football without Gonzalez last year,
sure
with
did.
Drake May out
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. Rookies are due to report today. We're going to get to
all
Akis
the rookies
coming up. Well, they're all due to report.
Yeah.
As of yesterday, Gabe
Akis
had not reported as of yet.
Okay.
But rookies are reporting today, or they're supposed to anyway. The injured players reported earlier this week. That's why Harold Landry, among others, have already been placed on PUP. Training camp starts on Saturday. Gonzalez still isn't signed. So where is that heading? And despite what Rap Sheet had to say off the top of the show last night, that, oh, it's all going to get done. Don't you worry. Witherspoon's holding it up. Once Witherspoon gets it sorted out, Gonzalez will get out there. Well, when's all that happening? And I'm sorry, I don't quite have the same level of confidence you do, meaning Rap Sheet, not you, Keith, that it's all going to get ironed out. Meanwhile, here's another way to look at the Patriots and if they're good enough to have Drake May carry them without Christian Gonzalez. Aaron Schatz.
Go ahead.
Who we've had on the program before.
We have?
Yes.
Oh.
I think so.
Maybe.
Guest of the year 2 years ago, I think.
Could have been.
What he was. Yeah, he was right there in the mix.
Seems like a nice guy.
Jones, I think, is the only one that remembers it.
He ranked,
I don't know. Was it this show?
I don't know how
was
you
forget. Was
it this
it. Version?
I think it was.
Right, anyway,
I don't know
thanks
how you
for coming on,
that,
Aaron.
How you forget a name like that. He ranked NFL teams by their under 25 talent. ESPN does this every year.
Yeah, this is a fun exercise because there was a stretch of time where the Patriots were in like dead last. They had nobody. Yep. Remember there was like, well, they got James White. Or like whatever, like they didn't have, even when they were good, they were like good, they were older, right? And so that has obviously changed based on the last like three drafts.
Patriots are number one on this list.
Okay.
They were number seven a year ago. They are number one on the list. They have what he refers to as three blue chip players, Drake May, Christian Gonzalez, and Will Campbell. They did have one player graduate, the eraser, Craig Woodson, no longer on the list. He's already too old after his rookie year.
The eraser's too old? Dr. Woodson? He was at college that long? I didn't realize that.
I guess.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, like, Drake May is going into year three, and he's on the list, and whatever. So, Will Campbell, I understand why you'd put him as, like, a blue chipper, but that's more on, like, upside and hope. The other two guys you know are really good.
Oh, the other two are some of the best at their position.
Yes.
So, Schatz writes, the Patriots Hall of Young Talent is not just about May, but it certainly starts with him. My system, the Schatz system, identifies
it's an
May.
Acronym like S-H-A.
My
Z stands for zoo.
Identifies May as the most valuable young commodity in the NFL. This
makes
aligns
sense
with the Barnwell thing earlier this week. It takes six draft picks to pry him away. Left tackle Campbell is just 22. Center Jared Wilson is 23. First round pick Caleb Lomu is 21. Behind those O-linemen, May can hand off to 23-year-old running back Travion Henderson and throw passes to 24-year-old Kayshon Boutte. I'm surprised he's that young.
Yeah.
23-year-old Kyle Williams. They're never on the same page, but he can.
Yeah, he's available.
And 22-year-old Eli Raridan.
Yeah, another one of the rookies that's there. So, I mean, that is a good young group.
On offense.
Yes.
He then highlights this. He says there's less young talent on the defensive side of the ball, but the Patriots' best defender, Gonzalez, just turned 24 in June.
Yeah.
He then goes on to note two other names.
Is Akis one of them?
Akis is one.
Okay.
22 years old.
Yeah.
You'd have to report.
Got to be there. Yeah, you got to be there.
And
so far not there.
Be
on
the field to be counted. The other is Joshua Farmer, who was like a day three pick last year.
Joshua Farmer?
So
they go deep on this list.
These are the under 25 talents they highlight on defense. So put another way, Keith, they're veteran heavy on defense, which, you know, I think you could always expect some drop off there when you're relying on veterans.
Yeah.
They have much more youth and high end youth on the offensive side of the football. Is that a way to look at it and say, well, the offense without Gonzalez, or the offense, if the defense isn't up to snuff, Gonzalez out there or not, the offense is good enough to carry it, even if they have some shortcomings on that
side
of the
ball? Well, yeah, because another way of asking, I guess, is which is more likely to be in the top five at the end of the year? And if you want to go like points per game allowed, points per game scored, which
definitely
one
definitely the offense.
Yeah. I think the defense has a chance, though. And I know that the level of competition is higher, so that could knock that down. But that sort of crystallized last year during the playoff run, was that everybody talked about the Chargers defense and Houston's and Denver's and Seattle's. Obviously, we saw it firsthand how good it was with Seattle. But like, everybody hyped up those defenses. But the Patriots, until the Super Bowl, were kind of up to the challenge there. And I don't think their defense got worse. I mean, you can talk about pass rush, obviously, and see if that's going to be a net positive or not. But I think the Byard addition makes the overall secondary better. So I think they have a chance. Like, they should both be top 10, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think easily top 10. That's, like healthy. They're
I think the
10.
Offense is a no-brainer top 10. I'd say the defense,
I think so, too.
You're talking points allowed? I would say probably should be top 10, yeah.
And usually those two also work hand-in-hand with each other. You know, that's one thing that...
The Dale scale.
Yeah, you look at the Dale scale at the end of the year, and if your Dale scale is under 5, you usually win or participate in the Super Bowl. But no, also, like, we would talk about this during the Brady years, how having that good offense that also didn't put the defense in bad spots is so important, right? Like, you're not giving short fields, you're not doing all this, you're not keeping them on the field all the time. So they can work hand in hand. And so if the offense is as good as we think it's going to be, that only helps the defense, only gives them a better chance.
Some texts rolling in, 617-779-7937. Guys, I like Carlton Davis as a cornerback too.
Same.
But if this holdout drags on and Gonzalez misses games, Davis scares the crap out of me as a CB1. Somebody CB1. On the other side of the aisle, Keith, says, who cares about Gonzalez?
I do.
Let him go.
Oh, what?
Somebody will fill his shoes. We've seen it for about the last 20-something years.
What now?
So
somebody will step up.
Next man up, classic mantra. Now, again, next man up when you have Tom Brady is a different thing than next man up with anybody. And I like Drake May, don't get me wrong.
Well, I was going to say, if you have what you think you have in Drake May,
yeah,
he can mask
Brady.
Some of it. Not,
yes,
not,
oh, for
not
sure.
Brady, yeah. But if you have what you think you have in May, he can mask some of that.
But
that's
also,
that's what Schefter said. Schefter's like, as long as you have May, which to me means everything else is irrelevant, as long as you have May, you're going to be a playoff team.
But so those are two different things, though. Like, if you're trying to win the Super Bowl versus just make the playoffs, like, I think that's where a guy like that does come into play. And so Drake May is good enough to be what should be a perennial playoff team.
So you think, independent of Gonzalez, they're a playoff team?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think with them, they might be the best team in the AFC. No, so
Gonzo,
I think without them, they're still a playoff team.
Gonzo hurts your ceiling for sure.
Yeah.
You can't, I don't think, win a Super Bowl. You couldn't even win one with him
but this
last year. Never mind without him.
Right,
but.
So that's just it. So in like the early 2000s, there was that one Super Bowl run that Ty Law was hurt and missed, right? And now you look back on it, you might have forgot about that. But
2004.
He wasn't there.
Earthwind Moreland.
But the team was still so good that they were able to win, but they were the best team. They were the defending champs. This isn't that.
Imagine just how bad that Super Bowl would have been without Gonzalez.
Yo, yeah.
Oh, yeah, what a disaster.
Yeah.
They might have stopped it at halftime.
Although some, like near Patriots GM Greg Bedard, would tell you he didn't have a good Super Bowl.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Yeah, he's a bad tackler. He shies away from contact. No, but so you know what I'm saying? Like, that 04 team was the best team in football.
Yep.
They were so good they could lose a player like that and still win it. Whereas this team right now, you and I are arguing for them to be the best team in the AFC. That by no means is like what everybody thinks. They think they might be like the 7th best team in the AFC. So a team like that cannot afford to lose a player of the caliber of Gonzalez and then expect to just be like back in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean,
is there a date that you have where you're like, not nervous, but like we have a problem on our hands?
I want him out there day one of training camp.
Okay.
That's what I want.
That's soon.
No, I know. But like, this is what happened last year. He missed camp and he wasn't the same guy until late in the season at best or the postseason. Now, ultimately,
didn't burn him though.
No, ultimately, he played up to a high level.
Yeah.
But he missed 3 games. He wasn't himself for most of the season because he didn't have an offseason.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the second he starts missing actual training camp, that's concerning to me. If you want to play the game, Keith, that they're pretty light, they're in shorts and shells like the first couple of days of training camp, call it the first day of padded practice. I want him out there for that. I imagine in shorts and shells, even if he's holding in, he's going to be doing most of the stuff. Once they get to padded practices and it's 7-on-7s and 11-on-11s, he'll probably start missing. And I guess that'll be the real time I start getting concerned.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Wiggy, your lead this morning.
All right, good morning. And Shime, I'm going to jump into the football lane. I know you went to baseball road.
My man.
Shout out my guy. I think his name was Brandon from Marlboro. Yesterday, I saw him at Cask and Flag and a lot of other great, you know, fans of the show and just were there to support the Red Sox, but also wanted to know about football and football and football and the Patriots and the Patriots. So we know Shime is usually, this is usually his lane, so I'm jumping into a little bit. ESPN did a ranking of the top teams with the 25 and under core, and the Patriots were number one on that list when it comes to talent, which I look at this Patriots team and go, all right, so if you look at your 25 and under talent and you're one of the best teams in the NFL and you're coming off of a Super Bowl, and some of those players we know, Will Campbell, obviously Drake May, Christian Gonzalez, paid at that Batman his money. But other guys I look at is like Jared Wilson, who's going to be moving to center, Travion Henderson, who's part of that list, who I think is going to have a big role this year. And you got this young core, and this team is coming off of a Super Bowl loss. My expectations, and I think a lot of people want to know, and I think a lot of people feel great about the Patriots heading into this season because they're well ahead of what we all expected. I think a lot of us expected, all right, maybe they're fighting for a playoff spot last year, and they went well past our expectations. And this year, I think we look at it where I think this team, AFC-wise, should be back in the AFC Championship because of part of having that young talent and having a very good veteran team, but also having a great coach, adding A.J. Brown. So when people are kind of thinking about where you should, what should be my expectations for this Patriots team, I think it's AFC Championship.
Pass it back, baby. I got to win one.
I know you don't put a lot of stock into what happens at camp from an observer point of view.
Right.
Like what we can see. But what are a couple things that you are most interested in paying attention to starting Saturday?
Well, I know that Mego's supposed to be down there, and she's going to hopefully chime in with us. I told you, for me, I want to see how they're utilizing A.J. Brown.
Right.
Right?
That's the main thing for you.
That is the main thing for me, is because I feel confident and good, excuse me, about Will Campbell, right? Will Campbell, we really won't get a good idea of him until he gets back out there for regular season games, because I thought he did well until the injury, so I feel good about him. Drake May, I think, because Drake May, another year under Josh McDaniels' belt, what type of, does Josh let the leash out a little bit longer and say, hey, Drake, you're at the line of scrimmage?
You can audible, you can do what you can, yep. Got a little, the leash is a little bit longer.
You don't like something?
When it comes to what you want to do, Drake.
Right, yeah. Change it up. You know what? Hey, every now and then we might even get into a controlled no-huddle situation where we're going to allow you to get out there, see what, if you see something you like, hey, we'll push the pace a little bit.
Shime, cover your ears. He had some ball security issues last season.
Yeah.
Are you worried about that or not?
I mean, that's like, always a worry, especially from the quarterback position, and you know, because that guy has the ball in his hand.
I just get worried when it comes to Drake May and some wet balls.
Oh, there you go. I appreciate that, Coco. And with him having the ball in his hand all the time, I think he just has to be smarter and not as reckless. When you're talented, sometimes you try to play a little bit above yourself. We see Josh Allen do the same thing, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Patrick Mahomes, you could do a little bit more, and at times you get a little bit loose with that ball.
Okay. All right, Wiggy. Can't wait.
Yeah? I cannot wait. Was Saturday?
Saturday. Ken and Curtis will be there for Ken and Curtis Show at Gillette on Saturday.
It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Also go to the Odyssey app, press the microphone button, Leave us a message. We'll launch your take grenades at the 5 o'clock hour. And honestly, who would have ever thought that the greatest coach of all time in the NFL would end up going to college and bring a woman who is, what, 26 years his what's that, senior?
Oh, more than that.
I forget, it's a lot.
Ted has the exact math.
Well, I mean, he's 73, she's 25. I mean, you know,
she keeps getting younger every time I talk about her. But it's true. Who would have thought that he would go down to UNC, you know, she would get in the way of everything, he would let her get in the way of everything, and then this team would just absolutely crap themselves. They only won 4 games last season, which is just a sin. Because you know that Bill went down there saying, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I want to coach in the NFL again. You know I do. I'm just going to go, you know, play with these little toys and just show them what real winning is like down at UNC. I could sleepwalk through the entire thing. And then all of a sudden they're going to come begging for me to come back. I'm the genius of the college world. I've seen coaches do this before. And sure enough, he goes down there and absolutely embarrasses himself. So he needs a win right now, literally and figuratively. And there has been, ever since he showed up on that Sean Hannity deal, a campaign of him trying to do everything that he can to prove to the world that that wasn't his fault last year and that this year is going to be different. And I don't know if you saw any of this interview where he sat down recently and started talking to, I know that it was like on ESPN, he was talking about how this year's different. Apparently, like they've completely overhauled like his coaching staff. I guess he's got a good offensive coordinator down there now. I think somebody sat him down and said, dude, what you're doing isn't working. And I know you're Bill Belichick, but F you, we need to win.
You know his offensive coordinator is Bobby Petrino, the guy that was the infamous guy that was the head coach of the Eagles, the Falcons, and then basically left without telling anybody, and then got in that motorcycle, that accident. I think he was on a bike where he was with a young college girl and got his face all scraped up and had the neck roll on.
Yeah.
So he's, Bobby Petrino, real winner there. That's his new offensive coordinator.
That's unbelievable. Well, I guess according to some of the stuff I'm reading, he actually, unlike last year, is trying when it comes to recruiting. Apparently he did, because I think that was one of the knocks on him last year was that, you know, you're Bill Belichick. You would think that that's one of the biggest selling points is that you can go get these players. Now, he did end up joining UNC after a lot of the recruiting process was done, but still, you know, his name could still have pulled some guys in at that point. He apparently did the work this season. And I'll say this too, you aren't hearing about him anywhere on boats, on beaches, riding bikes with his girl, like that. This time last year, he was everywhere. Like, I mean, wearing the Eras sweater. He was, like, you know, down at Wisconsin and Nantucket doing all this stuff. You aren't seeing or hearing about any of that right now. And one has to wonder if he realized last year he got a slap in the face of reality and just said, I'm never going to coach in the NFL again. And I am, what, how many games away from winning the record? Fifth? Okay. That would kill him. I think there's nothing in this world that he wants more than to get that record, and he knows that if he doesn't turn things around this season, it could all be gone. So he's doing everything he can to get people to believe in him. And Paul Feinbaum, who I love, I've been a guest on his show.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right there. What was that for?
Well, because one of my favorite things to do is to play some of his callers on our show because they're
that's right.
The most brain-dead human beings. Well, not all of them. Some of them are great. But the great thing about Feinbaum is that he lets these people call in who just, you know, sound like they were hitting the head with a shovel, and he lets them talk, and it's the greatest. And like they're getting fights with each other, and to be quite honest, it's highly entertaining. So he got a tape of me talking about him, and he invited me on the show, which I, of course, you know, busted their chops a little bit. But, you know, who am I? I'm no better than them. But either way, I love Paul Feinbaum. And you know who Paul Feinbaum does not like? Bill Belichick. Let's let it roll, Stiz.
I think his college future, no one's taking away his 6 Super Bowls, but ending like he is going to end is really embarrassing and sad and in many ways pathetic, Peter, because this didn't have to happen. He only took this job because he was bitter that he couldn't get an NFL job. He chose the wrong place. He has tried to use the magic of yesteryear, and it simply hasn't worked. And I'll break it to everyone who is curious how many games are going to win this year.
their over and under in Vegas is 4.5. 5 wins would be considered a success, and that would mean another embarrassment. And yes, Heather is right. He won't get fired, but he should seriously consider retirement.
Ooh.
Well, that's strong. Strong words from a guy that has covered football or college football for a long time. People take very seriously what he has to say. Those were harsh words, I thought.
Yeah. And if you are Bill Belichick, and let's say you have a season where you win 5 games, where do you go from there?
Well, you look for a Sean Payton to bring you back into the fold of the NFL and be like your coach.
But he's always talking about he's building something. Hey, 5 wins is better than 4 wins, you know? I mean, even though who was the coach that the longtime coach that they let go that was before him? It was at Texas.
Mac
Brown. So Mac Brown, they fired him because he only won 7 games in the ACC.
Right.
So what Bill's done recruiting-wise is he's focused his attention on freshmen as opposed to portal transfers.
Yeah.
And so he recruited a lot of just kids that are going to be freshmen. Good luck with that formula. I don't know how making your team a lot younger is going to make you a better team this year. They had 70 players that they brought in for transfer portals last year, and they only won 4 games. I just don't know how having a bunch of freshmen on your team is all of a sudden going to make you a better team this year. But I thought those were pretty...
very harsh, like almost out of the blue. Like I feel like last year would have been prime season for those comments,
yeah,
and then nobody would have blinked an eye, yeah, but now...
But I think hardcore college people don't like Belichick thinking he could come in and
yeah,
then just take over the game like he did in the pros.
Right.
It's cocky. Personal. Yeah, it's cocky, and I also think he's made a lot of enemies. I don't think that he, when he went down there and, you know, had Jordan try to be like his personal secretary, and wasn't there a thing where everyone had to send their messages from the school through her before he got them? Like, mm-hmm, she was basically the middle person between the school and him. Like, dude, that pissed me off.
She's got like she's basically fighting to get, I don't know, some of the communication on emails between the school and I forget who, but she still wants to catch UNC talking smack about her boy in some, mm-hmm, I don't know if she's filed a suit, whatever she's done. She's trying to get the stuff.
Rich let Noah the intern go out and talk to fans. I mean, she's just trying to help some young people of America in their next job. I mean,
get it?
Sure, why not? And the thing is, too, about Bill is that I think that if he would have finished his NFL career and then went into broadcasting, he would have had a much better chance of coming back. Because it happened to everybody. It happened to Sean Payton. Sean Payton went into broadcasting. He was brought back. It happens with a lot of guys. I mean, how many times did you hear after Bill Cowher ended up going into broadcasting? Every single year when there was a new coach's opening, they're like, they got to get Bill Cowher out of retirement. They got to get him out there. Let's get Cowher. And I believe that would have happened with Bill. And that was, but the problem is that he went out there and started doing those underdog betting videos with Matt Patricia, and they were just awful. You know, he had like a little bit of cachet because I remember when they were doing the greatest players, NFL players of all time, and he was in that round table, everyone praised him about how good and insightful he was. And if you would have just ended on that note and gone into a group of people that can help you make you look good, set you up, you know, one of those, like, you know, when they have a Boomer and the, you know, the CBS table, mm-hmm, and the Fox, yeah, table, the
pregame show,
the pregame show, he would have shined. But unfortunately, he's kind of blown it on the broadcasting side and the coaching side.
Yeah, but
so
you could always go back to broadcasting. And I do think, like, Cowher, when he retired, he never wanted to coach again. He made that clear, and to his credit, he stuck to his guns.
Yep.
But Bill wanted to coach in the NFL, mm-hmm, and so isn't it better to stay in the game? And even though he got bludgeoned in year one, at least he's around young people. He's trying to stay with the trends of the game. If he does go back to the NFL next year, he'll be more prepared to coach.
Is this a dumb question? Do you think he would have made more? Don't kid yourself. Don't think Bill doesn't like making money.
Yeah, he's making 20 mil.
He's making, well,
no, less than that.
10 mil. 10, 10 okay. mil. Do you think he would have made more in broadcasting? Do you think someone would have given him more than $10 million?
Probably not.
To do a studio show?
No. He would have made a lot of money. He would have. But $10 million is a lot in broadcasting. Unless you were like, you know, the guy who's the color commentator for the game of the week. Like, if you're Tom Brady, you know, that's a lot of money. Yeah. But he would most likely be one of 5 voices at the table.
Right. Right.
Where that's where he'd be most effective. And that, yeah, I mean, could he have made $5 million a year? Sure.
He's a pretty, he's a big draw. He's the greatest of all time. You know, that's worth something.
He likes power, though. You don't have a studio show. You don't. You're not flexing your power in the, with those kids, those parents, those boosters. He can flex power all day and make a lot of money. That's that was just a more enticing a gig for him than TV.
Well, maybe CBS didn't have a job for Jordan. Maybe that was the deal breaker.
Maybe that was it.
True. Well. Just like Bronny, you got to have like a package deal. Mm-hmm. You know.
All right. Well. Patriots rookies have reported all but one, and we can talk. We can talk about that situation this morning on the show. And I don't know when or if Gabe Akers is ever going to show up for work, and how much it's going to cost the New England Patriots to get him there. And I don't know whether Mike Vrabel cares or not. But interesting.
I would think
really,
he would care a lot, right?
I mean, has there been a second rounder who has held out for this long or has never signed with his team in the history of the era, in recent memory? Shime, you're the professor. You would remember it.
Not that I can recall. There were a couple second round picks last year that fought for money but got the money before camp even started.
But I also don't think the second round picks do surgery on their own without telling anybody.
That's a big thing, I think, Curtis. You're right.
It's the injury guarantee. He screwed himself over by not being transparent with the injury, and now he wants the team to guarantee injuries against his salary against injuries.
Right.
And they're like, no.
Yeah.
So I think it's an impasse. But the next time
did you inform Odyssey about your dental work?
I did not.
Okay.
But it looks great.
Yes. Okay.
No, I did not. Ken, by the way, we'll get to it. He sent me a text last night with great ideas for my weather. He wants to rename my weather segment.
Oh, he does.
All right.
He has some. We'll workshop those.
Did you tell him mind your own beeswax?
I got it this morning, and I really wanted to say that, but I said he's probably not going to wake up for a while.
Okay.
The reality of the Patriots entering this camp is, I don't understand why you, if you're Gabe Backus, if you're sitting
Backus,
if you're at home, you screwed up.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
The onus is on you. Like, I always defend the player because of guaranteed money, but you made a decision that ran counter to what was in the best interest of yourself and the team. So now you can't sit here and demand that they negotiate in good faith when you haven't conducted your own business in good faith. So, and the second part of this is, the next time somebody says, I don't want to trade a second round pick for a known commodity, like, just bring this up. Like,
yeah.
Every year, like, oh, I wouldn't give a second for that guy. Like, no, yes, you would.
Right.
Yeah.
What? How many second round picks turn out to be studs? Like, one out of every three or four?
Yeah.
So, like,
It seems like it's early, but it seems like he's going to negotiate his way right out of the NFL, which is a dumb thing to do.
Yeah, it's just,
like, I mean, this is your option. So you might want to figure out a way to meet in the middle with the Patriots. I think they're right about their concern, because if you're not informing them or you're being sketchy when it comes to an injury and then a surgery that you had, then the team has every right to try to cover themselves off and cover their investment in some way.
Yeah.
So
I wonder how he was able to pull that one off. Like, you know, because the NFL, they go back to like when you were in fifth grade, it seems like, and they turn over every single rock and talk to every single person. And just maybe the fact that you missed this injury or this surgery, or like, you weren't aware of this before you drafted him,
especially considering the relationship they have as an organization with his head coach and Brett Bielema. Like,
right.
This isn't somebody that you would presume that the head coach of the Illinois would be like, hey, he's had this nagging injury or whatever. Like, the fact that nobody was aware of it.
The only thing I could think of, and for it to go under the radar, is it wasn't something that he did during the season where he went to the training staff because he was dealing with this. And maybe this was something that happened as he's preparing for his combine and his pro day, and he's not really, he's with his own, you know, people training, and something happens, and then the agent, the people that he's paying to train him, say, hey, we'll keep this on the wraps, and that's how maybe nobody knows about it. But you're right, if this happens at Illinois, he goes into the training room, this is documented, and then you would think the relationship that the Patriots have with Brett Bielema, say, hey, you know, what's his medical history like? Oh, well, he tweaked his knee in week four and been getting treatment on it, that kind of thing.
Make sure you give this a quick look before you draft him.
Right.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
We got Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring, and WEEI.com joining us about 15 minutes from now. We'll get back to the Red Sox. But we're talking Patriots. Who's under the most pressure on this team? How much pressure in general is on the team? Shockingly little, based on how well they performed a year ago, 14 wins in the Super Bowl, Mike Vrabel's first year here, Drake May's first year as a full-time starter. I think nationally there's very little pressure, which I guess is a desirable place to be. That doesn't mean individuals aren't under pressure. So, Keith, you went with Vrabel. I went with Drake May. We mentioned a few other names, A.J. Brown and Christian Gonzalez among them. Mike Reese highlighted one today in a training camp preview where all the ESPN writers went through the different teams. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, he said the biggest question facing the team is, does Gonzalez get his contract extension?
Makes sense.
Spent a lot of time on that.
Yep.
Three players to watch at training camp, A.J. Brown, Drake May, Gabe.
Akis. Okay.
He highlighted some positional battles as well, and then he said a player to keep an eye on. And another way to put it would be a player with a lot of pressure on him, and I would credit the Twitch chat. Bunch of people mentioned this name in there as well. Will Campbell.
Oh, great one.
Is who Reese highlights.
That is a really good one.
He says Campbell, the 2025 first-round pick and number four overall, was not the same player in the postseason after coming back from a late November knee injury. The Patriots believe he'll return to form.
Ooh.
Period. They're also high on the potential impact of veteran free agent signings, Elijah Vera Tucker, at left guard, should he remain healthy. And if the left side of the O-line is solidified with 2025 third-round pick Jared Wilson moving from left guard to center, the team would have the ideal blindside protection for May. If not, he writes, 2026 first-rounder Caleb Lomu could factor into the mix as he initially projects as the swing tackle. So I'd quibble with that. I mean, Reese is very plugged in, and I think there's a real chance Lomu's playing somewhere. Left tackle, right tackle, left guard, right guard, injury or not. I think he's going to be playing and playing early on this team. They moved up for him in the first round for a reason. But maybe the plan is swing tackle, red shirt, et cetera. I think it's interesting Reese is highlighting that because from most of what you hear, it's Campbell's job. He can't. Most of the speculation about him losing his job starts with, like, talk radio or fans. The beat writers, almost to a man, are like, it's his job. He's not going anywhere. They love him.
Well, because that's what Elliott Wolff has said. That's what Mike Vrabel has said.
And Reese highlights some of that.
Yeah.
But he does say if it doesn't work out, Lomu could factor into the mix.
So that it is a great one. You know, I immediately go to Vrabel just because of all the offseason stuff. You go to Drake May. He's obviously their best player, quarterback, most important position, all that stuff. But Campbell is a good answer for this because if A.J. Brown has a disappointing season, yeah, that sucks. And he's probably going to have like 900, 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
He's going to play every game.
He's still going to get
wide receiver one.
All his snaps and the most targeted receiver.
Drake May throws 15 picks, God forbid. He's going to have a chance to throw a 16th. Right? Like he's just going to be out there. He's the guy. If Will Campbell's bad, your top five pick is now a guard, maybe? Like, right? So that's a good one. He does probably have more pressure because...
And it's pressure for him, too, because guards get paid a lot differently than tackles.
Definitely. And the range of outcome on him is way wider. Like the best version and the worst version of Will Campbell, it could be. I mean, it's funny, like just talking to listeners and just people that watch the Patriots, it's like some are super high on him, like he's going to be an all-pro left tackle for 10 years. Others are like he should be a guard tomorrow. So that's a big swing, and I think it might be the biggest wild card on the Patriots is the O-line in general, but obviously your left tackle would be at the forefront of that.
Where are you at on Will Campbell, or as Dark and Stormy Nights in the Twitch chat calls him, C-Rex?
Yeah.
Where are you at these days? I feel like it's been a while since you and I have talked about it. I don't think he was just injured in the postseason last year. I mean, I think that was a factor.
Yep.
But I think they stepped up in competition. He faced better pass rushes. And when he was 100% healthy in the regular season, he struggled with good pass rushes. The Browns.
Stubby little baby arms.
The Falcons. I didn't think about how we could use that for Will Campbell. Great call, Nick.
Yeah, good job.
Why he's the drop god.
Oh, he's getting all kinds of shout-outs.
So much love.
Almost too much to the point where I feel like Greg's trying to steal him.
Drop god.
Like, I appreciate Greg and Wiggy, Wait, shouting him out?
Let me hear that again. That was Wiggy?
Yeah.
Drop God.
Wow, you told me Greg also shouted him out today?
Yes.
What'd he say?
Coming up at 10, Jones and Keefe and Drop God. Just throwing him into the name of the show. Well, for Pete's sake.
Do I get a whiff?
I hear that.
You're a whiff. You're a whiff.
I hear that and I think, what a shot at Billy Lanny. He just skipped right over Billy Lanny.
Well, Billy's not playing the drops. Those guys love the drops back there.
I just show up, keep my head down, do my job.
Right. Rise and grind.
He breaks all the ties.
He's
got the feed.
Feed.
He's reading all of our Would You Rathers, specifically on a Wednesday, although maybe I should have let you read some of our Thursday Would You Rathers.
Tier Tuesday.
I step on my toes, that's fine.
Yeah. Tier Tuesday would be very quiet without Bill.
It's kind of a shot across Billy's bow, if you ask me.
But I got my eyes peeled because
God
I also.
Bless me with broad shoulders. I'm good.
Because there was a day not so long ago I worked on a show with Chris Scheim, and then suddenly I didn't because he got snapped up.
So you're worried about the drop guy?
Yeah, I'm worried about drop guy a little bit.
I mean, good for your career, drop guy. Yeah, but we're gonna
like
keep
Terp. I'm 10 toes down.
We're gonna keep you down. We're gonna keep you down here.
Yeah.
We don't want you to move forward with your career whatsoever.
I'll start playing drops out of order over here. They think it's him doing it.
Blamed me for the Robert Downey Jr. thing yesterday.
Yeah, I did. Misfired a drop there. That was on me a little
wild
bit.
Wild elbow going on over there. So where are you at on Will Campbell though? Because I don't think it was his injury late in the year why he struggled.
Fair.
I think he finally ran into some good pass rushes and some good defenses, and he was exposed against Cleveland and the Falcons earlier, and I think it's going to happen again.
Yeah, and I think if you want to rely on the injury, I think that's a tough one because you could ask some NFL linemen and say, over the course of your career, how many games did you play 100% healthy? I mean, these guys, just not a position where you are super healthy. Like those guys take an absolute beating. So you did use such a high draft pick on him that – I'm starting him at left tackle. I'll take Vrabel's word for it and all those guys. But I would be prepared to make a move in season.
They are. They drive. They moved
Correct.
Up for one in the first round.
Right. But I'm saying, like, I would prepare Lomu that way.
Oh.
So I'm saying, like, I can't.
Got it.
I don't want Lomu just playing right tackle and right guard camp. And then
he's
going
to get some top team reps.
Yeah. And because there's also something we said about, like, oh, he was playing hurt. He was also the worst player in the playoffs last year. That's not, like, hyperbole. Like,
no.
Look at whatever metric people were ranking them, all this stuff. Like, every player that played in the playoffs, nobody was worse. That stands out. Like, you draft a guy that high, you're hoping for, like, a Pro Bowl left tackle. You're not hoping for a below-average tackle. Like, you need that player to be really good. So I would give him a shot, see where it goes. You know, and if he has a bad week one, I'm not saying you punt on it there. But like
a bad month?
Yeah, see what four games looks like. See what four games looks like, and then have the ability to reassess.
Monty Mack, our guy in the Twitch chat, says his poor play absolutely coincided with his injury. Again, okay. I don't think that's totally true. Look at the Falcons game. He got roasted. Look at the Browns game.
He gave up a few sacks in the Browns game.
It's Miles Garrett, but he got torched. And that's kind of my point. When you run into good – I don't think he had a great game against Pittsburgh early on last year when he ran into that pass rush.
Yeah.
So I think when he was against good pass rushers, even early when he was 100% healthy – I think that's an issue for him.
Even regular season alone, all these like guys that watch the All-22 and everything, Morgan Moses was a higher graded tackle than Will Campbell was.
Well,
regular season.
And part of the problem for him
in playoffs, obviously, but
part of the problem for him too is last year's draft. Who was the kid the Jets took, the O-lineman? Membu?
Oh yeah.
Right tackle, but had a very good year, graded out very well. Gray Zabel, who the Seahawks took, he's a guard.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, people are already – he did so well in those Fowler rankings. He's already, like, a top five interior lineman in the league.
Wow.
So those are some of the other guys at the same position that the Patriots could have had it for, or they could have moved down and gotten
Well, the one is Kelvin Banks had a really good year for the
Saints.
Okay,
so add another one.
Yeah.
So already,
but they wanted a left tackle, and that was a weird –
he is a left tackle.
No, Banks is. I'm saying those other two guys aren't. So, like, that was one – because we talked about it pre-draft.
Right, but if he has to move to guard
– Oh, no. If he has to move, that's different.
Wouldn't you rather have Membu at right tackle, or wouldn't you rather have a guy who's already a high-end guard in Zabel?
Yeah, but I think they were just so desperate for a left tackle.
So – I think that's
and Vrabel has hands on him. Remember,
true. Now look, if you move him inside and he's a mauler, he's a Logan Mankins type at left guard, and Lomu's good at left tackle. I will say no harm, no foul.
Yeah,
you got it right. I mean, Campbell, you reached for, but you wound up getting it right. If they're both really high end players at left tackle and left guard, but you're going to have to thread that needle. That's not an easy one.
Right.
We can circle back to the defense as well. Biggest questions facing the defense, along with who's under the most pressure on this Patriots team with training camp. Less than 48 hours away, starts up on Saturday.
Oh, two sleeps?
We're going to be there Monday.
Two sleeps till camp.
Yeah. Two sleeps.
Are you going to make it on Monday?
Well, I'll be there Monday.
You should be recovered by then.
One, like, involuntary sleep.
Did somebody bring a pillow for Jones to sit on?
Am I going to need that?
Yeah, donut.
You might. Or you could stand up like McAfee the whole time. Maybe that's why he stands up.
Am I going to need a pillow?
No, you should be fine. Okay, you'll be good. You'll be good to go. They're very gentle. At least the people I went to.
Like a whole team of them back there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't playing the offspring.
No. This was a much better procedure.
Yeah.
If you were like, oh, Keith, you could redo your colonoscopy or vasectomy. Not a debate. Give me 20 colonoscopies before I do one vasectomy.
You could use 2 punch cards.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.